Congratulations. Congratulations to Sean from Buford. Sean wins the tickets to go see Bethel on the 25th of October at the Infinite Energy Center. You can go to victory915.com and find out more information about how you can get your tickets. But check this out. He was running a marathon up in South Carolina, and you know, he's getting toward the end, and he's singing a song. He's singing, what was the song? Your Love Never Fails?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't realize this, but there was a woman who was struggling in the marathon, and she was motivated by him singing that worship song.
See, we never know who is in our sphere of influence today, who we can bring encouragement to.
Yeah. So she came up to him at the end of the marathon and said, "Your worshiping got me through." And I was able to persevere and run the race.
That's awesome.
How about it?
So, congratulations, Sean.
Yeah. Like, there's really double bonus points there, too, because Chris McClarney wrote the song, who so impacted Kim Walker, she recorded the song. So it was like a flowing thing there.
All right. So Ray is here. It's Risenstein. It's Victory 91.5, Yom Kippur with Ray Haynes.
And we're trying to break this down and just, you know, in such a way that you can really grasp it, because we don't want you just to get edumacated. We want you to really stir into the heart of God on this one. So let me kind of, again, I'm just trying to give you a big picture as we get digging a little deeper and deeper. You have three spring feasts, all right? For most Christians, you're talking Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, but on the biblical calendar, Passover, First Fruits, which is Resurrection Day, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. So now add the other layer here is Moses is at the mountain. They've been released out of Egypt. They've crossed, and they have gone from Passover all the way now to the mountain of God, and he goes up, stays for 40 days, and receives the first set of the Ten Commandments. He's fasted 40 days. He gets the commandments, and he comes down, and they're all around the golden calf, and, of course, he is mad beyond words, and so he breaks those. Not over the people, but thousands are killed that day. So he intercedes for the people, telling God to strike his own name from the book of life rather than killing all the people. So you get this beautiful picture of Jesus right there, but he breaks the commandments. Yeah, it was. It was Moses' amazing guy. But, of course, on the bad side, if you've ever had to fast 40 days, he has broken the commandments, and now he's got to go back up the mountain and fast another 40 days. So it's like, darn! So that begins on the first day of Elul, which was 50-some days ago now. So it's 30 days before Rosh Hashanah when it is exactly 40 days. The first day of Elul, so you have 30 days, then Rosh Hashanah comes, you wait 10 days, and Yom Kippur is when he comes down from the mountain with the second set of commandments, which he does not break this time. He keeps those. And so that's one of the aspects of it. So obviously, these 10 days that we've just passed through, the days of awe end on Yom Kippur, the fasting and prayer all day, which, if you're thinking that's hard, so much easier than 40 days, just in every sense of the word. So if you have to have a yearly tradition that God gives you, go with the one day rather than the 40 days. So in five more days, on Monday, comes Sukkot. This Feast of Tabernacles prefigures the new garden, the new heavens and earth, and it's 5 days after you're fasting and repenting and meeting with God on Yom Kippur. Your sins are atoned. It's time to start your new life. You spend 8 days celebrating during Sukkot, this Feast of Tabernacles, or booths is the word translated. So you create this booth of sorts, a lean-to or a hut where you eat your meals during the festival. You're basically camping. And basically is what you're talking. So that's on Monday for 8 days. And when you come to this day, so it's right in the middle of these other two feasts and this long extended time, Yom Kippur is the only holiday, now think about this hard, that fasting is explicitly commanded by the Lord. It's Leviticus 16:31. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever. I mean, good gosh. you understand that this day, which all the way back to the garden, is such a significant day. Mm-hmm. So we're not just talking about law here. I want you to hear the heart of God. This is, there's 365 days every year. This is the only one he's ever commanded you to fast on. Mm-hmm. He asks you, he encourages you to fast all the time. Even Jesus said, when you fast. Mm-hmm. So it's anticipated that you will fast. But this day is set apart because it means something to God. So that's why I want you to, you know, wrestle with a little more than just fluffing it off. Afflict does not mean to punish yourself, just in case you're wondering. It means to humble yourself. Mm-hmm. So God, you know, has sovereignly set this day apart because we all just get so easily stuck in stupid. Mm. You know, it helps to have 24 hours, or 25 in this case, to humble yourself, to open your heart, to open your ears, to open your eyes and say, God, speak to me. It's just a good thing. Now, as we were in Israel a year ago, it was such a neat, powerful time that the Jews wear white or burial clothes on mm-hmm. this day. So mm-hmm. if you go to the Wailing Wall, normally they're wearing black, which is traditionally what you see. But you go this day, it's all white. Yep. And mm-hmm. it's like, whoa, it's an eye-opener. And it looks so different. So they wear their burial clothes to live all day as if they're dead. So that's fasting. That's why you don't eat, right? That's the concept. Mm-hmm. Dead people don't eat. It's humbling yourself before God in a reminder that you are mortal. They also don't drink, by the way. So white burial clothes have no pockets. Obviously, you don't get to take anything with you. So only the word you can take with you and good works. Those are the two things. So one of the fringes, of a prayer shawl, the tzitzit is cut off. When you die, it represents the law because the dead are no longer under the law. Mm-hmm. So one of the most ironic parts of Yom Kippur is it can be seen as such a religious holiday when in fact God set it up to be just the opposite. Mm-hmm. It is when the law is ended over your life. Mm-hmm. It's when grace is finally received. So now on the official part of this, going back in history, this is when the high priest, who normally had very bright colors, breastplate of precious stones, on Yom Kippur, he was required to take off all of these glorious robes in exchange for simple white linen garments to go into the Holy of Holies. You know, Jesus left his glory in heaven, came down here to go into the Holy of Holies, so to speak. He looked just like any other priest, which again foreshadowed Jesus, our great high priest. He left the glory, put on flesh, became one of us, yet remained holy, right? So the verse, Isaiah 1:18, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. It is a day to encounter God personally. So when Moses is receiving the Ten Commandments and going to meeting with God, his face is aglow. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for this time of repentance that the Jews would look at it as a time that determines your destiny. But every time you repent, you literally change your destiny because you were going after sin. You were going towards destruction. When you repent, you change your destiny. Now, Leviticus 10:11 says this, distinguish between holy and holy and unholy, mm-hmm. and between unclean and clean. Now, as a Christian, you might say that these days help set the course for your year. The choices you make, the directions you choose, these 10 days of awe that we've just gone through and are going to wrap up were like a preview of the year, kind of like a snapshot of trends, if you will. What you conquer now and have in this last 2 weeks impacts your entire year ahead. So the decisions you make, and especially as you wrap this up tomorrow, they count more now. You get, it's not like bonus points, not really, but it's impactful towards your life. You get more grace, if you will. Yom Kippur is all about the sacrifice and forgiveness of God. First we repent, then he makes a way for our forgiveness. So Yom Kippur, see all the different trends that kind of collide here, represents Judgment Day when all men will stand before God. The word Satan, now, if you take that word, write it in Hebrew, each letter has values, and so it adds up to 364. Yom Kippur is the 365th day when he can't accuse you. like in heaven at the judgment for Christians. It's one of those clever Hebrew-y things, you know, that you have to get into all the numbers to dig that one. So, but the point of being here is that this is the day that you've got to seriously look ahead to a day of judgment, because we cannot afford to look at the people around us and not say that person is going to stand before God. We are going to stand before God. So our prayer, our compassion, everything that we do hinges on the fact that this Day of Atonement, this Yom Kippur, we will seriously intercede for the world.
Wow. We're going to take a look at what's happened in the last 10 days.
Oh, goodness.
And there's been a lot. It's Risenstein. All of this is posted at the Victory Facebook page, the Risenstein Facebook page, and blog.victory915.com. And if you want all of Ray's teachings over the years, there is a link to that there also. Was that a sentence?
Yep.
I believe it was.
That there.
It's just time.